We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado!
From Learfield, this is the CU Buffs Insider. Here's the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Buffs Insider Weekly Podcast. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, joined by Neil Welk this week. He's back from the IR last week, by the way, Chad. He was out sick all week. And that guy over there is former Buffs All-American Chad Brown, the linebacker, joining us. He'll be doing the television broadcast this week on the Pac-12 Network. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Two weeks into the season, give us an assessment of the Colorado Buffaloes at 2-0.
Well, you know, I think everyone's looking down the road, as we do as media people, for the Huskies game coming up in 2 weeks. I think they're building towards that. Obviously, the first week against Colorado State wasn't the most explosive offensive performance. Things got a little bit more on track last week, and expecting more of that getting on track this week, preparing for that big matchup against the Dogs.
Chad, when you were playing college ball and you had a non-conference season, I know you guys' non-conference schedule was a little different than the one that these guys are facing, but did you still build up toward that conference play and try and, you know, fix things as you were playing in those non-conference games?
You know, as a media guy, this whole thought of thinking forward 2 or 3 weeks down the road, that's all new to me. You know, as a player, I literally focus from practice to practice.
Are you giving us one game at a time right now? Is that what you're giving us?
I am giving you that because that's how players, I still think best.
Right.
There's a practice today. How do I walk off this field better than I walked on the field? There's a game coming this weekend. How do I give this game 100% of my focus and attention and not think about next week? And, you know, I've talked about with you guys about being a coaching intern the last 3 years in the NFL. And at no point did a coach stand up in the meeting and say, in 3 weeks we play. No, they talk about today. They talk about the game this weekend. So this whole thought of looking forward is much more of a media thing. But I think the players in the locker room, the coaches in those meeting rooms are focused on this week.
So, and this might be splitting hairs here, but when we talk about, you know, getting better every single week, can you really look as a player or a coach at a non-conference slate and look at that as, okay, we're going to fine-tune a little bit more this week. Is that the mindset you try to utilize?
I think you have to. And you want to go through those non-conference games and start to check off things off the list. We just got out of a presser with Coach McIntyre, and he talked about things kind of evolving as this non-conference schedule has gone on and getting better and checking things off the list.
Right.
And, You'd love to go into the first game and after that first game not have a lot of things to check off. But, of course, every team does, no matter how well you play. And then through the slate of the non-conference games, continue to hone in on this, fix this little thing, figure out, you know, who's my best five offensive linemen, who's the next guy in the game. When I want to go nickel, who's my nickel back? Who's the guy who I trust the most? Those are things you want to hammer out in this non-conference schedule. So once you get to Pac-12 play, you've got a lot of those things answered and you feel very confident and comfortable with them.
Okay, so what is the difference, or when do you know the difference between we've got something to work on or we're just not very good on this side of the ball?
Gosh.
Is that a fine line?
I would say not necessarily,
right,
because there's scheme and technique, which can be taught and you can get better at. And then there's we don't have enough talent.
Okay.
And that's when you don't have enough talent, you think we can't get better at this. We got to come up with schemes to hide our deficiencies instead of schemes that to accentuate what we do well. So there is a difference, and I wouldn't say it's not a fine line. From a coaching perspective, it's pretty clear.
And you know it pretty quickly as a coach or player.
Yes. I just left my coaching internship with the Jets.
Right.
And a lot of people are predicting them to go 0-16. So,
will you wear that badge of honor then after the season that happens? I'm part of the 0-16.
I think they'll be better than that. And I think the difference in talent on the NFL rosters from team to team is not that big of a divide as is in, say, in college football.
Right. Sure.
But there are certain things that you have to recognize as a coach that I can try to scheme up this as best I can. We're not big enough. We're not strong enough. We're not fast enough. Versus I need to coach this technique better. Maybe the guys aren't understanding how this scheme works. Those are things that can get better. Understanding techniques, 2 yards this way, how's my hand placement, how's my alignment, versus the guy on the other side is just bigger, stronger, and faster, and there's nothing I can do to make my players bigger and stronger, faster until the spring when we can get into the weight room.
Right.
When you look at Colorado's defense, you saw the Colorado State game. Who do you see as the playmakers on that side of the ball?
Well, gosh, I was impressed with Collier, the freshman, coming out with a lot of really good-looking pass rush moves. His spin move reminded me of a certain guy who used to wear number 34 for the Colorado Buffaloes. Made me smile up there in the booth. I think probably the best player on the field, Isaiah Oliver, you know, he continues to show that now with that one-handed interception last week.
Yeah.
Just a guy who has complete range of physical tools, but also knows how to use them. I think there's a number of playmakers on that Buffalo's defense, but those are the two guys who stood out. A young guy who stood out to me, and a guy who, again, came in, you know, with all the hype, people thinking he was going to have a great season, talking about his athletic ability, and is more just an athlete, is an actual player and a playmaker.
He's a corner. He's a true corner. He's not just an athlete playing corner.
Yeah, and there's a distinct difference between those two. He has the athletic skill set, but goes out and plays corner at a high level.
You know, I wonder a little bit, and the last guy I can think of like that, you know, Jeremy Bloom with his skiing. What he did in his Olympic sport seemed to translate to what he did in the football field as a punt returner and a receiver, and even back and forth, a little what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of the jumpiness, if you will, and the ability to cut that kind of thing. I wonder if Isaiah Oliver's decathletic, is that a word?
It works for us.
It works here.
I speak for a living. Decathlete events, if that helps him translate to being a better defensive back.
I think, you know, I just called the University of Washington game last week, and Coach Peterson has this whole thing of built for life. And he wants to take and teach these guys these life lessons to make them better men. But also, he recognizes that those life lessons translate to the game of football.
Sure.
And if you're a good football player and you understand the game of football and what's being asked of you on a given play, on a given Saturday or Sunday, you're able to take those outside things and bring them to your game. So for Jeremy Bloom to have the, you know, when you're doing moguls, that's hopping and cutting,
yes,
to take that experience and translate that to his game and make people miss on the football field, that should be a natural. For a guy like Isaiah Oliver to run, to jump, to do all those things that the decathletes do and bring that to his game in football, I think that should be natural for that guy as well. My swimming at John Muir High School, that did not translate to the football field.
Not even a swim move when you were trying to get past that O-line.
I hadn't thought about it from that perspective. Maybe from a shoulder flexibility standpoint, it made my swim move better. But at no point when I was trying to deal with an offensive tackle was I thinking about, man, that swim meet – against Burbank High School, that's really paying off right now.
You just broke some news for me here. I did not know that you were a competitive swimmer in high school.
After the football season was over, I thought I would do another sport. And so I
swimming.
Swam. I swam a lot as a kid. I thought I was pretty good. But, you know, my technique needed a lot of polish.
Well, I'm just you think about it, and think about two of the great Buffs of all time. Alfred Williams was in the band, for goodness sakes, and Chad Brown was a swimmer. Those aren't necessarily the things you just assume a big, strong football player is going to be doing when he's not playing football.
You know, our football coach was a track coach, so I had to do track. But I thought, let me try to add something else. And, you know, I thought the little swimming icon on your Letterman's jacket would be cool. So as the swim coach told me, man, you just hearted your way through that race. There was no technique whatsoever. That was all heart. Yes.
How about a guy like Drew Lewis? I wonder, he's one of those guys that flashes out there. And I don't know sometimes when I watch him if it's as instinctive as a guy like yourself. But athletically, he's one of those guys that can make a lot of plays for the Buffaloes.
Well, I think the mix inside between Drew and Gamboa is great because, you know, I think Gamboa certainly has a skill set to go out and make plays. But he's not going to wow you all the time with his athleticism. Whereas Drew can do that. His instinctualness, his raw level athletic talent. But he's still clearly learning the game. Whereas Rick is far ahead of him.
Kind of a tactician.
As far as a tactician, knowing the technical aspects of the game, what am I trying to achieve on each snap? What's the situation on the field? Sometimes Drew gets a little lost, to steal a quote from Neil. I think he gets turned around sometimes.
I like it. Good line.
Drew and I, Neil and I talked a bit coming off my jet.
He's a wordsmith, that guy, by
to try to catch me up on Buff's knowledge, and he was a wealth of knowledge for me preparing for that Rocky Mountain showdown. But, yeah, Drew can get turned around a little bit. But at the same time, you see flashes where the coach didn't teach you that. You just understand football. You've read it. You saw it. And you just went out and attacked it. So as the season progresses and he gains more experience, you'll see that continued instinctual football play. But then he'll be able to couple that with the coaching preparation for the opponent and really make some spectacular plays out there.
Looking at Colorado's offense, Steven Montez, guy that came in with a lot of promise, a lot of talk this year because he had three really good games for the Buffs last year. What do you see from him? Do we have to remember that he's just a sophomore?
I think we do. We are familiar with him because of last year, but it's one thing to come in and be the replacement for a guy who's hurt, and it's not really your job. It was still Cepho's job. You're just going to hold this until Cepho comes back.
He was playing with house money.
Yeah, and there's a lower set of expectations, not just from the public and the media, but from your teammates as well. But now you are the man, and that with that comes the added pressure of being the man, of being the leader, commanding the huddle, being that guy that people look to all the time. So there's that pressure that comes with that. So I think to your point, we can lose track of how young he is in his development as a quarterback, but I think we see things on the field, that go, okay, this guy is going to be fine. Clearly from a talent perspective, the size, the athletic ability, the arm strength, but also seeing him make some really dynamic throws over the last couple of weeks.
Well, with that being said then, and one thing Coach Barnett talks about in the broadcast is him learning to exist in the pocket. And that's not natural for him. And at the press conference this week, you know, Mike McIntyre talked about, hey, when he was in high school, he was the biggest, strongest, fastest kid out there. He just made guys miss, or he'd push him down himself and then throw the ball. So this is a skill he's got to learn then, right, as a quarterback?
It's a skill, I think, that almost every quarterback has to learn. How do I stay cool and calm in the midst of chaos around me? Mm-hmm. How do I trust those five guys or maybe six guys of a running back staying in to protect me to do what they're supposed to do and keep my eyes downfield? The natural inclination is to back out of the pocket and not to step up into the pocket. You know, if you watch NFL football during the preseason, every college quarterback who comes in and plays NFL football is still figuring out pocket mechanics. When you think about the great guys who operate within the pocket,
Rodgers.
It's a short list.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You know, Drew Brees, you know, we saw a little bit of Phillip Rivers, who's very limited athletically last night against the Broncos, but still knows how to operate and move around within the pocket. So it's a short list of guys who have that skill set down at a very, very high level. So to Coach McIntyre's point and to your question, I think we're going to continue to see Montez evolve into that because it's not a athletic skill, it's a mental skill to somehow sense what's happening around you, but don't let that distract from your eyes from being downfield and looking at what your receivers are doing.
So then as a coach, as an offensive staff, can they help him with that to Number one, work on it, obviously. But I'm talking about within the context of a game plan, allowing him to move, moving the pocket to keep him more comfortable.
Well, there's lots of drills you can do. I think if you're a football fan, you've seen quarterback coaches throw bags at quarterbacks
sure.
so they can kind of feel contact on their body while still keeping their eyes downfield. We were in New England when I was there with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You know, sometimes he would have us as outside pass rushers line up 2 yards off sides, so there was no place for Tom to escape out the back of the pocket to force him to step up. So there's little drills like that the coaches can do that I've seen over the years that have been helpful for quarterbacks. But schematically, yes, you can make him more comfortable in the pocket by not asking him to be a target back there. If a pass rusher's being a foreign pass rusher myself, I know you're going to drop back 5 to 7 yards and always be in the pocket. Then I can pin my ears back and go, and I can really start to work my repertoire of moves against that tackle. But if the pocket's always moving, you're rolling out from side to side, you're expanding the pocket, you're doing things like that, then that slows me down as a pass rusher, which then gets Montez more time in the pocket to feel more comfortable back there.
You have broken two, I think, news flashes tonight. Number one, you're a swimmer. Number two, Tom Brady had to work on pocket presence at that level of his career, at that point in his career, which was not that many years ago.
If you want to be great, you got to continue to work at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tom at 40 years old, he's still working at it. And it's been 10 years since I've been in a practice with Tom. But I imagine he's still doing those same things that made him great. So there's no real secret to success. You didn't become a great broadcaster just by reading a book, Mark.
Yeah, well,
you put the time in.
I'm still working at that.
Yes.
still working on the pocket. Hey, before I let you go, you mentioned your coaching. Is that something you're – that's been 3 years in a row you've done the internship thing with three different franchises.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's safe to say with three franchises at different levels in the NFL. What's your take on that? Is coaching in your future?
Well, to go first, three different franchises. 2 years ago with the Seattle Seahawks, last year Tennessee Titans, this year with the Jets. Seahawks coming off a crushing Super Bowl loss essentially by one play. So very interesting to see how Pete Carroll was going to handle that team. So often teams after a Super Bowl loss kind of get derailed,
sure.
and they want to fast forward through the season and get back to where they were, not realizing you still have to fight the fight to get back there. So that was very informative to see how Pete Carroll handled that. Last year with the Tennessee Titans, coming off a 3-13 season, Mike Mularkey, knowing they were going to be good, how does he build that culture up after such a disappointing year with all the expectations of them being better? I thought Mike did a great job at that. And then this year with the Jets, I talked about it earlier during the podcast. Some people predicting them to be an 0-16.
Yeah.
How does Todd Bowles get the coaches and players to show up every day when the front office is doing what appears to be, almost tanking the season? And it was fascinating to be there to see the coaches and the players put in tremendous effort and energy and focus every day, regardless of what the front office was doing, because there were guys leaving the room sometimes when we were in meetings. Personnel guy coming tapping somebody on the shoulder and he'd be like, "Oh wow, I guess he was traded."
Wow.
So
that happened to me here a few months ago, by the way,
can
on radio.
We see you for a minute here, Mark.
That actually happened.
Yeah, bring your playbook and your key card, please. How do you focus in the midst of that? So three awesome experiences, three very different experiences.
Sure.
The second question, is that in my future? Well, I said after dragging my family around for 15 years playing in the NFL, I would not do that until the kids were out of the house.
Yeah.
Well, my son's a freshman here at University of Colorado.
Look at you.
Yeah, my daughter will graduate in December here. She will graduate early, so thank you, Imani Brown, saving me a semester of tuition.
There you go.
Good looking out. Appreciate that. So now's the time to test those waters, I think. I've done the internships to build up connections, to build up some confidence in my own coaching ability.
Sure.
This last year with the Jets, this last training camp with the Jets, I was working with Kevin Green, my Steeler teammate, Hall of Famer, and his dad got sick about halfway through training camp. So Kevin went to go be with his father, who was coming off some complications after surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that outside linebacker group all to myself. So I got them prepared for the game, coached them through the game, worked the tablet on the sideline, graded the game tape, wrote up the player evaluations for the general manager. So it was a really immersive experience. Felt bad for Kevin and his dad, who seems to be doing pretty good right now, but it was a fantastic opportunity for me to really take my coaching temperature, not playing coach, but actually being a coach
right.
for a week. I have to say I really enjoyed it. And the reviews from Coach Todd Bowles were pretty good. He thought I did a good job.
I wonder sometimes, though, when you're a very good player like you were, an all-pro level player, are there times where you wonder why a guy I'm coaching can't see what I see?
You know,
I mean, you're in the NFL, so there's a lot of talent you're around, regardless of the franchise.
I think the most difficult thing as a coach who played at a high level and was part of some very high-level franchises and had some incredible Hall of Fame teammates was dealing with guys who don't have the same level of motivation. I recognize we all are not equally talented. Yeah. And so I can't ask you to do the spin move like I did that. But what I can ask you to do is be focused and prepared and have great effort and give yourself best chance for success. So it's very difficult in a training camp atmosphere when you're going to keep four outside linebackers. There's eight guys in the room, and there's guys who aren't fully invested in diving in. It's like, you know, you're not on scholarship. Half the guys in this room will not be here in 3 weeks.
Right.
And you might want to say, dazzle me as a coach with your effort and your attention to detail and your focus. So when I give you that call, the one that you screwed up yesterday, when I give it to you today, try your best not to mess it up.
Sure.
Oh, you messed it up. I'm going to give it to you again later in practice. And I'm going to coach you in between those and tell you exactly what's coming. Don't mess it up again.
Is that when that?
Oh, you messed it up again. So now I have to say, you know, hey, man,
yes.
At the end of this experience, and you want to say, hey, Coach Chad, Mark Johnson, how did I do? Well, Mark, I gave you the same play three times, and you screwed it up. Can I trust you?
Right.
So those kind of moments were fascinating to me that there's guys who are in the NFL, who've gotten to the NFL level, have a chance to make millions and millions of dollars and secure not just their future, but their family's future, potentially for generations forward.
Sure.
And didn't have the mental focus to get that play right I gave you three times.
Is that when the tap on the shoulder in the meeting comes?
I don't do that as a coach, but I certainly submit my, you know, reports to the general manager, and he's free to do what he thinks is going to be best for the franchise. And no linebackers were tapped on their shoulders. Kevin and I tried our best to prevent that and to keep coaching those guys up.
Lastly here, before I let you go, can we say at this point, and I know you love this program, you've watched it intimately now the last couple of years, the Buffs have got a foundation, and maybe they're not where they were when you played, but that the program has fully turned that corner, and now it's just a matter of taking care of details and getting a few more athletes and that kind of thing.
I think the phrase, the rise, I think it speaks to it. It's not the rise and the fall. You know, it wasn't let's rise up and fall back to, you know, where we were a couple of years ago. It's the rise, and it's continued focus on getting better. And I think we're doing just that. You have now facilities that are, you know, equal with the top teams and universities in the country. You've got, a bowl game you're coming off of. You've got a way to attract recruits. You've got some guys who have gone from two-star recruits to now being drafted in the NFL. So all those pieces that attract recruits, that the lifeblood that keeps your program going and makes your rise continue, I think we have that in place now. You've got stability on the coaching staff. You've got a coach with a contract extension. So all those pieces are in place to keep this rise going in the right direction.
Good stuff. Hey, good catching up with you.
It's fantastic. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. That'll wrap up our Buffs Insider this week. Getting ready for the Buffs and the Bears of Northern Colorado at 12 noon at Folsom Field. Our coverage in the Colorado Football Network gets underway at 10 a.m. Of course, the kickoff at 12 with Gary Barnett, Andy Lindahl, and yours truly. Of course, the game is also televised on the Pac-12 Network. And that's where you can catch Chad Brown. He'll be over there. Our thanks to the Buffs. Great for joining us. And, of course, Neil Welk of CUBuffs.com. I'm Voice of the Buffalo's Mark Johnson. We'll talk to you next time on the Buffs Insider.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.